It's interesting that Adam was asked to name all of the cattle, all right, the fowl of the air, everything that creeps on the earth. He was asked to name those particular creatures, all right? I'm not going to get into the science aspect of it, all right, which he could have done that in one day. The Bible did not say that he named every single species in the entire world. Did not say that. It said that he named cattle, fowl, and creeping thing. He didn't name any fish. You don't see that. And so you cut that back a lot. And I'm not going to get into that. But why did God have him name in the first place? You know, we all know that he did. And so I don't need to prove it to you. But I am asking why, all right? Now, it says there was not an help meet for him. And this is in reference to the wife. But I believe that God brought every creature to him and had him name them. You know, you might laugh. I hope that you take this the right way, because I don't, you know, this isn't scriptural. You know, this is why, I'm going to tell you why I think it's possible, all right? A monkey comes up to Adam and he goes, "Do you talk?" Just kind of looked at him. Oh, man. I feel like I am the only creature that can talk. And a turtle comes up. How about you? You know? And none of them, when he brought them over, he says, "I'm going to call you a gorilla. You're going to be a turtle. You okay with that? I hope you're okay with that." Nobody answered him. He was one of a kind. He was different. And God specifically told him, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And then it says, "Let them have dominion over all of these things that you're naming." What I think he wanted Adam to see was, you have a connection that none of my creatures have. No creatures in the entire world have. Did you notice that they can't reason with you? Did you notice that they can't talk to you? Did you notice that you can't teach them anything? Did you notice that they can't refuse or accept anything that you've given them? They're different. They're of this world, but you are of this world, and there's a part of you that has a link to heaven. And it's now restored through Christ. You see, that relationship was breached when Adam sinned, but when the second Adam came and died and took upon himself our sins, God's wrath toward us was... How many of you have ever burned a leaf with a magnifying glass? Anybody ever done that before? Just one person. What's with you people? Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, so half of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Do you really not know what I'm talking about over here? Burning a leaf with a magnifying glass? You do? Okay, you do. Okay, you do get it. Okay, good. All right. The reason I'm making sure is because I don't want to confuse anybody. All right, now, when you take that magnifying glass, you can spread that light out across the pavement if you turn it a certain way. But when you turn it in a certain way and focus it just enough, it zeroes in on one little spot and it burns it, because all the power of the sun is going right into that one little spot. And that's pretty much what happened when God, he took all of his wrath for us, toward us. He took it all and zeroed it in on Jesus. And when he was satisfied on Jesus. He poured all of his wrath on Jesus. All the wrath that he was going to pour on mankind, he took it all and he put it on Jesus, his son. He basically poured out every ounce of his wrath on his son, Jesus Christ. Wrath that was supposed to be poured out on us, he did it for Jesus. And because of Jesus, that relationship with God is restored. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. That's wonderful. That means that we now have that fellowship with God that Adam used to have. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that God brought all of those animals to Adam so that he could say, hey, Adam, I want you to notice there's no other creature like you. You're very different. You can actually talk to me. There's no other creature like that. You have a communion with me. There's a link that you have between earth and heaven. Not even the angels have that. The angels can communicate, sure, but they're spiritual. Look, if I could say it like this, God is a spirit. He made us unique above anything else that he ever created. He made us flesh, which is connection with earth, and he made us spirit, connected with heaven. There's no other creature like that. What an amazing creation. You can look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm an amazing creation. Because God said, I want communion. I'm going to illustrate something real quick, all right? Mom, did you watch any football today?
Yes, I think so.
Do you know who was playing?
No, I don't remember. Yeah? I don't remember.
Was it a good game?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah? How was lunch?
It was good.
It was good? That's good. Did you have, did you give Lee that rake by any chance? You were telling me about it.
Yeah.
You did? Okay. And, did he do a pretty good job?
I think so.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Are we going to have anything to do on Saturday?
I don't know. I think I'll leave.
I mean, it looks like we got plenty of stuff out there to do, but I mean, I'm thinking Lee has pretty much done everything the men were supposed to do outside. And by the way, I apologize for not responding to those two texts that you sent about the phone. I could not help you. I'm sorry about that. Do you forgive me?
Absolutely.
Okay, good, good. David, did you understand what everything that we were talking about? Well, I mean, not everything, but did you understand pretty much? Okay, good, good. All right, now, the reason I just did that is that's a conversation. That's how prayer ought to be with God. We are able to talk to one another. And the reason we're able to talk to one another is because God designed us to communicate unlike any other creature. Why is it so hard for us to talk to God like that? I know that there are explanations and things that, you know, and by the way, some of you are pretty consistent. I mean, when you don't pray out loud in the prayer meeting, a lot of times you don't talk anyway. So you're pretty consistent when it comes to that. But I'm saying, those of us who socialize on a regular basis, talk to one another. We need to be able to do that with God. And one of the reasons why we don't, and I'm not trying to point fingers and I'm not trying to accuse, But how much effort are we giving on a private, regular basis? Because I'll be honest with you, when I haven't talked to someone for a while, I really don't know what to tell them. You see what I'm saying? I haven't spoken with Jonathan in probably, I mean, a whole lot in detail. Like, you know, we've exchanged words. We've been extremely busy. But I haven't talked to Jonathan a whole lot. And as a result, I really haven't had a whole lot to talk about. The way that I can find out what to talk about is to go up to him and say, "Did you have a good day today?" And he can voluntarily tell me about his day, or he can say, "Yeah, I had a good day," and that's it. All right? If he says, "Yeah, I had a good day," and he doesn't say anything else, conversation's pretty much over. I want you to understand that your God is coming to you every day and saying, "Did you have a good day today?" And when you say, "Yep, had a great day," and you go about your business, the Lord says, "Oh, that's good. I feel for the Lord." We need to communicate with him. I wonder when the Lord, by the way, how many of you think that Jesus thinks about his church right here, New Grace Baptist Church? How many of you think that we've come across his mind at least once? Absolutely. How is it that he has every hair of our head numbered and he hasn't thought about New Grace Baptist Church one time? So here's what I'm trying to say. When he thinks about our church, by the way, he's in love with our church. He loves every person that makes up this church. He's infatuated with us. But if he were to be talking to Gabriel and Gabriel said, "Hey, what do you think about New Grace Baptist Church down there?" "Oh, I love New Grace Baptist Church. I love the people there. And I try to talk to them, but they don't ever have anything to say to me. They're struggling, and I want to do so much with them, but they don't have anything to talk about. And I just hope that one day they'll call to me. Maybe when things get bad enough, maybe they'll call on me." Sad. Really? Do we really need to call on God when things get bad enough? That's kind of like, "Okay, now I need you." That's why I sang the hymn, "Praise Him." Praise Him. It doesn't mean to sit there and say, "Lord, I praise you," and just, you know, it's just, and make it this religious, pious act. But it means, "Hey, God. Father, Lord, Jesus, I haven't had much to say to you recently, and I'm sorry. I want you to know that I've stopped and I've thought about everything you've done for me today. Thank you for today. Thank you that I've been able to breathe. Thank you that I didn't choke on my food today. Thank you that when I was driving down the road, somebody didn't cross over the median. Thank you for letting me live today. Thank you for the rain. It's gray. Gray's not my favorite color, but there sure is a lot of blessing in those raindrops. Lord, thank you for keeping me safe at work. Lord, thank you for the ability to go to church freely. Lord, there's a lot of places that aren't like that, and I do pray for them. See what's happening? All of a sudden, it's not so much that you need God as much as you want God. And you find that he's right there. And I'm just a little insignificant nobody. You don't have to listen to what I'm saying. I'm telling you about the Lord. Do you think that what I'm saying is true, or do you think that I'm just, you know, oh, that's just the preacher up there blabbing again? No, I'm not saying that you think that way, but what I'm asking you is do you see that is definitely probably what our God is looking down and thinking? Do you think that he has gone today and said, they don't ever talk to me, but you know what? Honestly, I don't even care. Do you think that's his attitude? Or is his attitude, they haven't talked to me again. Boy, I love them so much, and I just wish so much that I could just draw them to myself. But they have to turn to me first. I'm not going to make them. I'm not going to drag them to me. They have to turn to me. They have to want me. I'm not going to make them. He's such a loving God. He is a God who looks down and sees us and he says, "Hey, I love you. I love you too, Lord. I really do love you. Hey, love you too. If you ever need me, I'm right there. Yeah, thanks, Lord. I really mean it. I'm right there." We need to call on the Lord. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to get you emotional. I'm not trying to get into your emotions. What I'm saying is that he's ready to hear from us. He's ready for us to talk to him. And I'm not going to talk anymore. We've got 30 minutes to talk to him. Clear your mind of anything I've said. That was me. Clear your mind of any disagreements you might have with me. I'm not the greatest person in the world. I am not, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm one of the worst people person that you can know. But I am a man with a message. God wants to hear from us. And so I want you to muster in yourself a determination. I'm going to talk to God today. Why don't we do that, okay? Lord, I am.